So, we're about to talk about a Christmas-themed show in the middle of May, which is always exciting.
That's right.
Of Christmas Past, and this is Douglas Walker. Tell us about the show, Douglas.
So, it's a one-man narrative comedy. It's like a historical epic spanning sort of 100 years, and it's the sort of shocking true story of Santa Claus.
So, what is that in terms of your idea for creating that? You know, where did that moment come when you thought, this needs to be in my life?
Well, I think everybody knows the sort of story about, or the urban legend about Santa wearing red because of the Coca-Cola company, you know, being in an advert for Coke. And then I thought to myself, I wonder how much sort of deeper that goes, how much of the rest of the stuff that we think is just, you know, the story of Christmas, you know, where do those bits and pieces come from?
Yeah, and they come back from a long way back, don't they?
Some of them do, some of them are more recent than you might think.
And in terms of then your research for all of that, beyond this show, has this been something you've always been interested in?
I've done a few things about Santa Claus. I think Santa's really an interesting idea. You know, it's this fictional character that definitely exists without being a real person, right? You'd be hard-pushed to say that Santa Claus doesn't exist. We all know what he looks like and where he lives and, you know, there's so much information that it's a real existing character, just doesn't happen to be alive.
And the obvious one, St. Nicholas.
That's the thing is, if you're going to say that Santa Claus is St. Nicholas, then you have to very sadly say that Santa Claus is real but is sadly dead.
In that religious tradition, he's not, is he?
Well, I guess not. Whereas this show has a different answer to that question of whether Santa Claus is alive or real or not.
Where do you find the balance as a writer and a performer between entertainment and giving out information, which you could do here?
I really enjoy to actually deliberately mix those two things together in a way that the audience has to figure out what's true and what's not. You know, I'm not going to tell the audience exactly which bits are real and which bits I've made up, but hopefully there's enough interesting stuff in there that they'll find that, you know, they'll go away and find that stuff out for themselves.
So is there a script now, you know, with loads of blood all over it and ink and stuff, or is it pretty much printed?
What is the script fixed in place? Yeah, the script's pretty well worked out now, I know.
So what was the process of writing that for you? If we followed you around, what would that look like?
It takes a long time, and little bits and pieces come, you know, all the time, and, you know, it's like stitching together a quilt, really, rather than writing something. You know, you don't have it fully formed, something comes out fully formed, you have little pieces that you go, oh, that thing relates to that, and that would work here, and, takes a long time and it's a lot of trial and error.
And I'm sure there's a lot of curiosity about this and also obviously the entertainment, but is there a bit of a mission to lift Santa Claus from the clutches of Coca-Cola?
I think in a way what this show will probably do is plunge Santa deeper into the clutches of maybe not Coca-Cola, but you know, you won't look at Santa Claus in the same way again.
So how might my Christmas be different?
I think it'll give you pause, not so much at Christmas, but it relates to a lot of other fictional characters in our lives, and maybe in fact not even fictional characters, just other people who people put up on a pedestal and sort of hold up as these good, inviolable characters. You know, there are a few questions about them.
Yeah, it does suggest you are partly rescuing them from the clutches of the corporation.
possibly. I mean, I'm not sure if Santa Claus comes out of this show as a sympathetic character. Certainly a more complex character than you would have thought.
Yeah, for sure. And in terms of then going into the rehearsal room, is that you locked away on your own in front of a mirror? Was there a director in there? What does the rehearsal look like?
I do a lot of stuff on my own first, and then I get someone in to look at it and kind of, once you've worked on something for a long time, you get too close to it, and you can't tell which bits are obvious to someone who's never seen it before, you know, and you can't tell if you're over-explaining something or if you're assuming people will know something that obviously most people don't know. Then I get a director in to kind of look at it and sort of pull me back in the direction of an audience. Yeah. You know.
And what is happening 5 minutes before you go on stage?
Normally in a Fringe, you don't have much time to sit and think or do warm-ups. You're sort of
not doing ho-ho-ho voice warm-ups. That's quite good.
I'm looking for the ha-ha-has more than the ho-ho-hos.
Yeah. But to get into the zone, I mean, how do you arrive on the stage, you know, hitting the ground running off your sleigh?
I generally don't have time to do much of a warm-up or get myself into character. I just sort of have to... I like to keep busy before a show starts. Too much time to think about what I'm about to do, and you sort of trip over yourself a bit. No, I like to not think about it too much until I'm on the stage, and then it starts.
So finally, and hopefully a non-PR way, what's your invitation for people to come and see Off Christmas Past?
I think it's... what I think is interesting about it as a comedy show is that there's not a lot of comedy like this. That it's one whole story. It's one man, just me playing a whole cast of characters that is funny, but also dramatically interesting. You know, it's quite theatrical, and I think that's different to a lot of what's going on at the moment.
And if that brown beard was white, I'd believe for sure. Well, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you very much.